keep coming.
Yes, dig.
Here we go. Away we go. Welcome back to What's Happening, the Extended Edition. I'm Aaron.
Hello, Aaron. I'm Dana West from West Boys.
And I'm Vernon West from West Boys. And we have my son on the phone right now.
Bear with us for 1 second.
1 second, Vern.
Vern, are you there?
Oh, me, Vernon? Little Vernon?
Yeah.
Little Vernon.
Yeah, I'm here. How's it going?
Great. So where are you calling us from?
I'm in Woodland Hills out in California.
Yep.
And I just drove out here from Peabody, from Boston. And I'm starting a new chapter in my silly little life.
So what do you, what is the new creation of yourself going to be out in California?
Could you just repeat that? I'm sorry, it's kind of hard to hear.
You said you're making yourself a new chapter.
So oh, yes.
What do you want to be in your new chapter?
Just like, I guess, more appreciative of every single moment. Something about having gone on that road trip and having to been completely present regardless of whether or not I wanted to, that kind of just reminded me that that's the best way to live. And so now I'm here, and it's the first time I really moved out of the my childhood home, and my whole idea of home is completely different now. It's more internal, and that's like, that seems more mature. It seems like I'm growing, and it seems like I could bring more substance to everything, more like conversations and relationships. So yeah, just growing. I feel more independent.
That's always cool. I had the opportunity to drive east to west. Well, not all the way west. I mean, from Boston to Wyoming, which was quite a different experience. And
But it's still just as brutal.
But driving out there, you know, we got to Nebraska, and of course, you know what they call mountains or hills, and we look up the road, and all of a sudden we see tumbleweed coming across, which you don't see here in Boston.
No tumbleweed.
And they going across, the sky gets dark, thunder, lightning. My friend and I turn around to each other and say, "We're not in Kansas anymore."
Yeah.
but it was different, because we left Boston. It was 90 degrees. We got to Cheyenne, Wyoming. It was 32. There was snow coming down.
Oh,
it was totally different. But the experience of going and taking a trip, whether you do it yourself, I mean, we had a great novelist in the 60s, Jack Kerouac, on the road.
Right.
Learning about life and experiences. I hope you are keeping track of this and writing down what you're learning from this new journey.
Write some songs.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I've been trying to take notes. It's honestly been harder than I thought. Something about like being in the experience. I thought I would be like journaling every moment, but I found myself just kind of like lying on the ground, just like meditating a lot. But fortunately, all the experiences I had are still very fresh, and I'm gonna make some concept albums based on all the people I met and all the crazy good and bad things that happened. Like pretty quickly I hit a turkey on the road.
Yep.
It hit me. Yeah.
Yep.
And my windshield is still in the exact same state as it was after I hit that turkey, because I wasn't able to get it fixed. But that was just like one of those moments where it seems so intense and brutal in the moment, but then afterward you're sitting there with like a notepad and you record it, and it's like, wait a minute, this is a hilarious circumstance. I mean, it's not hilarious for the turkey, obviously, and I have empathy for him or her.
I hope you took it to the campsite later.
You know, you were like the 10th person to say that.
Why waste good roadkill?
Well, which ironically, you know, is a big thing. I mean, where do you think the jackalope came from?
That's right.
You know.
Yeah, right.
An antelope and a jackrabbit, you know? So, is that your version of dead skunk in the middle of the road?
Yeah.
Turkey through the windshield.
Turkey through the windshield is definitely a title for a song. Maybe an album.
Yeah.
And, well, you can call it With Feathers, because there was a Woody Allen book in the 70s called Without Feathers.
That's right. I remember that.
So, geez, way too many cultural references, right? But, so, what do you want to do out there, though? I mean, you know, you're out there. I mean, are you planning on staying out there? Are you coming back? Are you going to do more traveling up and down the coast?
I probably will be traveling around here, but I'm moved here. I've got a place to stay, and I'm trying to find a new sort of home here. I have my solo music out, and I've always been writing and playing. And out here, you know, it's the land of entertainment. So I'm going to try to pursue both, like, music, writing, comedy, all these sort of...
You should have stayed in Boston. You should have gone to Washington, D.C. if you're doing comedy.
Really?
Well, that's more like tragedy, actually.
But,
oh, yeah, no, yeah, absolutely not. I got to be as far away from Washington, D.C. as I can be.
They need all the humor there they can get.
Yes. Well, actually, I have a friend of mine who's a Boston musician who is living out there. And I'll pass on the name so they can pass it on to you. It doesn't hurt. You know, he's still up and coming, but he's got an album out, and Matty-O, and you never know. There might be something there. I mean,
connect him.
Yeah, well, definitely.
That'd be great.
We'll pass that, text that off to Vernon. All right, Vernon, we'll text you that information.
And before Vernon left to go pursue a number of really good things, I got to tell you, you know, the record that we did that you have, we really, Vernon was just a consummate producer engineer, and all of us grew in this process, and I'm real proud of him. I just think that, you know, he's so meticulous when it comes to listening and making things better that I think the results can be heard on the record we did. And I think that's another area of chops that he's bringing out there with him to be able to apply, you know?
Right, right. And it's the song you're going to play, She Loves Me. We're going to start with that one. You know, drums and vocals with Vernon, bass and vocals with me, and guitar and vocals with Dan.
And that's why we call it the West Boys, because,
we're all Wests.
Our uncles were local legends in the jazz scene years ago, and we grew up with music as a passion at a very young age, and you know, we've had members in the band, we've been called different things, but since it was having the third generation come in, and it's just great. For me, I'm the uncle, but to be able to have my nephew just see him, he's so talented, and to be able to collaborate, all three of us, and have a magic to it. When we played, when we sang, and encourage each other with ideas, there's nothing like that. And just like the bond, our friends that we were just hearing from, you know, that bond isn't just blood. I mean, you know, to have each other as songwriting partners and have that collaboration, and that you begin to sound alike, you begin to blend, and doing this with my nephew has been awesome, really awesome, and so we're excited.
We'll start with
that in a moment, and Vernon will you might not hear it because when I play the tune, but we'll come back to you.
Yeah, it's very hard to hear a lot of what you guys are saying, I won't lie.
Well, then, you know what? Why don't we do this? Because, are you near a computer?
I'm not, actually. Okay. I only have my phone.
Okay, well, even on your phone, although I don't want you to use up all your data, if you go to WMFO.org, you can listen in to the rest of the interview. And we want to wish you the best out there. Next time you're in town with your hit album, we want you to come back in. And when I have the rest of the band up to the other station that I'm also on, we will have you call in and be part of it too. Because I don't want you to not be able to hear what's going on.
Well, yeah, thank you. Yeah, I got to get back in. I've got a lot of stories. It's been amazing. It's been amazing being the drummer for the new incarnate of SAS, although that's not what we are, but that's kind of what it feels like. So yeah, thank you. I appreciate that, and I appreciate your patience and willingness to let me share my little tidbits about my journey. But yeah, I'll log on. I'll listen up. And we'll talk soon.
Absolutely, and going to get back to the gentleman here. But we want to thank you and wish you the best out there in the land of entertainment.
Where dreams come true. Actually.
Yeah.
A lot of dreams coming true out there.
That's, it feels like they might soon. All right. Thank you so, so much. Uncle Dana and Papa Vern, I love you guys.
Love you too.
Love you, nephew Stan. We'll make sure we'll be talking a lot.
Have a great night with Billy and Lucy.
Right.
I will.
Go to the beach.
Yeah.
Thank you. Have a great night and thank you.
Happy birthday.
Oh. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
That's right.
Today's Vern's birthday.
Yep.
Well,
26.
26.
Yeah. Same age as the guys that are here from Mud
Fox Tribe.
Fox Tribe. I was going to say Mud Flaps. Mud Fox Tribe.
That's a Spinal Tap song.
But this isn't Spinal Tap, though.
Tom Petty. But it's first band.
But want to thank you and go enjoy your birthday. Go out and enjoy the beautiful weather. Get your music down. We want to be playing it live very soon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the plan. All right. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you.
Righty.
Bye-bye, Brian. Love you.
All right. Bye-bye.
And we're going to hear one of their tracks in a moment here on What's Happening on WMFO in Medford.
Dr. Lester Grinspoon, Associate Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. Back in 1966, concerned that so many young people were harming themselves through the use of marijuana, I began to review the medical and scientific literature to help clarify the nature of this harmfulness. Much to my surprise, I discovered that it was a substance remarkably free of toxicity. In fact, it is far safer than any pharmaceutical or recreational drug. There is no record of a single overdose death from its recreational or medicinal use. Marijuana is one of the most studied substances. I believe that it is high time that this country reconsider its stance on cannabis.
Them legalize marijuana.
She loves me better than anybody.
Welcome back to What's Happening. I'm Aaron.
I'm Vernon.
I'm Dana.
And we get the boys from the Mud.
Yeah, Cole and Dave from Mud Fox Tribe.
Mud Fox Tribe.
And we had...
Great name.
MFT. Thank you're going to be have cats with MFT.
Yes.
And we had the real pleasure and honor to speak with...
My nephew, Vern Charles West III.
On his birthday.
Today's his birthday.
To top it all on his birthday.
He made it. He made it from here to California by himself camping. And I'm sure he has a bunch of tree sap on that he's going to have to take off somehow.
Oh, yeah. Scraping. Scraping
well,
that off.
You don't have to worry about that. Remember, he's near the ocean.
That's right.
Salt water.
Oh,
get
go right,
right
in.
Off.
Go right in.
But that is really cool.
Yeah,
that
it is.
He's starting out and trying a new life, but not forgetting what he learned growing up. Just changing it a little bit.
Oh, definitely. And I'm really pleased about some of my friends are out there that, for example, Billy and Lucy Martin are dear friends of mine. And they're so graciously taking Vernon out for his birthday tonight. I'm overwhelmed with gratitude about that because I wished I could have been there, you know. I wish I could have been there for his birthday, too, so, you know.
But you were.
Well, that's right.
By having him on here, you were actually with him on his birthday. It may be many, many miles, but you're connected.
That's true.
Okay,
that's
so what better way to celebrate his birthday than to be part of the band?
Right.
Yes, that's right. We're
one
celebrating.
One of the best things of the technology today is you can get in touch with people, unlike the days when you had to call them collect.
Or, well, because remember, there used to be, in you know, it's a long time, but, you know, the reach out and touch someone.
right.
But, see, when you did it with the phone, it was legal. When you do it today, better be careful.
You're bad. Watch out.
Just don't give them a roofie and then reach out and touch them.
Yeah, you just don't do any of that stuff. You got to respect people. And
amen.
I see how, just talking to him briefly, how he respects being part of your band. As he said, you know, being part of the new SAS.
Yes.
Even though that's not the name of the band today.
Yep.
But it's the one of the incarnations of the band members.
Evolution of
the evolution
who we have been and who we still are to some degree and taking it to a new place.
You know what? It's reminding me a lot, too, when we started out. We were a three-piece, and we had a gentleman named Paul Caruso as our drummer. And Paul, unfortunately, passed away.
Yes,
we could never reunite to do that. And that was in the process. We were working on actually reuniting. And when we did our show, actually we did a benefit for me.
Yes.
You know, and we played live, and so many people would come up to me and say, "You finally found someone that could replace Paul."
Yeah.
You know, because Paul could sing and play, and we've had subsequent drummers that were awesome. Mark Highlander and
Gary
Chaffee. Great, great drummers, but unfortunately they never sang, so we always had to have another member.
The power trio thing.
Yeah, so we did the three-piece, and all of us are singing. What you just heard, She Loves Me, that's how we sound live. I mean, that's how it sounds. There's nothing added. That's just us. So most of these songs, we tried to craft them in the studio so they would be three-piece songs.
Yeah.
You know?
And I told him, you know, I remember when he was first getting into the drums and we'd go over for 4th of July and we'd go down and jam and he was coming along and he's learning the stuff and we talk about drummers and stuff. And when we started this project and we're talking about the style of the drums, I said, let's make this to be like a cross between Keith Moon and John Bonham. Because I've always loved a little bit of wildness and unpredictability in the drums because I'm a big Who fan and I always loved Keith Moon. But at the same time, you know, a good steady 2-4 beat is something to, get excited about. You know? So to see him really just be able to experiment and come up with some great ideas on the drums and be able to lock it down and nail these songs together was just a joy because it's like bringing someone from the new generation into the club, the family.
Definitely. So when we play the next track, I'm not sure what it is, which is incredibly funny because we're going to be surprised.
Well, before we play the next track, let us know more about each one of you. I mean, what you listened to growing up, what influenced you, and what made you want to play great music?
Good question.
Yeah. You want to share yours?
Well, my story starts when I got a 4-year scholarship to UMass Amherst for English. I was a writer, you know, the strong suit was writing. And then my dad died, or Vernon Dana's dad, too.
Our dad.
And that threw me for a loop. And it kind of reduced me to my bedrock, you know, what really matters to me. And at the time, all that mattered to me was music. It was the only thing that I could forget the tragedies and the stuff that was weighing on me was playing music. So I never showed up for the orientation for the 4-year scholarship. I never went a day. And my dad wasn't around to kick my butt. And my mom was in like sort of a haze of shock, so she didn't even realize I wasn't going. And I just kept playing with my band and traveling. And then Dana, who was at the time 15, all right, I was playing in a band that did not have Dana, but I was always trying to get Dana in the band because he was an amazing guitar player.
We got in trouble
for
that.
And I got in trouble. I got kicked out
of
the
band. Out of a band for trying to get me in.
For trying to get Dana in.
A coup d'etat.
And then we formed SAS, me, Dana, and Paul, and we were on the Live at the Rat album. We played the Rat continually. That was our home base, basically. And we'd go down, we'd ride down to Connecticut and play high schools.
In colleges.
And we didn't play not too many nightclubs, mostly high schools and colleges. We did originals, and we did some covers, but that's how we made our living. And, you know, it's interesting because I think bands can still do that. You just need an agent to call those high schools, because that's what we had. We had an agent or a guy down there that loved us, and he would just call every high school and say, I can get you a great band from Boston for your thing, and we'd go down and maybe $400 or $500, which was big money to us back then. We'd bring our sound and lights, and we'd
some good money today.
It's good money today, right? So we'd bring our sound and lights down there, and we'd have smoke bombs and everything, and we'd blow these kids away. And at the end of the night, invariably, we'd stand on the stage, and they'd come forward, and we'd sign autographs all night long to the end of the show. It was a thrilling thing for high school kids. I was going to school still. I was still in high school. We were just taking off every weekend to Connecticut or Rhode Island or New Hampshire and doing that. Remember, Dane? It was much fun.
Yeah. And that's when there was a lot more music in public education, you know, K through 12 or whatever. And in colleges, you know, had really had a lot of bands all the time. We would play UMass Amherst all the time with bigger bands and by ourselves and so, MIT. And
so you know what? You did go to UMass Amherst.
In a way,
that's right.
You know, did go there.
That's the truth. That's more true than you know, because when I went to those schools, I realized I had given up my college education. So when I would play colleges, I would actually sneak. You know, you didn't have to sneak. You just go into a class. They didn't take attendance. So I'd find out what classes were cool, and I would just go to them. And I educated myself.
I didn't.
Dana was sleeping back in the room.
I'd go play basketball or something.
So what did you listen to? And whom did you listen to? Because I know, like you said, you basically had music take over for the loss, and I'm very sorry. But what were you listening to before, during, and since?
I mean, I basically was a Beatle baby, for sure. I mean, before the Beatles came out, I was playing trumpet. And my family is all jazz musicians, so they were very proud of me playing trumpet. That's a good instrument. Yes, play the brass instrument. Yes, you're going to do well. I love that trumpet. Oh, that horn is a good thing. But then the Beatles came out, and I wanted a bass guitar. And they said, bass guitar? No, you have to get a stand-up bass. You can't get a bass guitar. It's an abomination. That's how they talked. So I actually got a stand-up bass. But then, soon enough, I got an electric bass. And me and Dana would always be playing in the house.
In the basement.
Constantly playing. And I got in a couple of bands starting out. But as soon as Dana got in the band, it really kind of just gelled. Because that's what I was meant to do. And I felt like it was worth giving up college, whatever. Because what was important was family and pursuing the thing that really makes you happy. I mean, there's no point in pursuing stuff that doesn't really make you happy, because you could fail at that too. So if you're going to fail, at least fail at something you really love.
Yeah.
Well, but see, way I look at it, you didn't give up your education because you still learned. You learned from the music. You brought yourself back with your music.
That's true.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, education is everywhere. Some people come to a university. Some people go to a college. You know, I mean, there are many athletes that are out there who never get there. But I was listening yesterday to the Red Sox, and they had their first round draft pick on. And he says, you know, I'm going to, they asked him, are you going to finish your education? He says, I'm either going to do it in the offseason, but it's in Florida. Or he's going to do it after his career is over. And the university in Florida said, we will let you come back.
Yeah.
That's okay? Awesome.
Now, that's really cool. Because you can always, well, like you said, you audited some classes, okay?
Yeah.
Did you learn anything? Probably.
Definitely. Yes,
okay?
I definitely did.
So, an education of any kind is important. You know, I mean, when you pick up a guitar, you pick up a bass, you pick up a drum, you pick up a book. Or you do all things.
I think education is a state of mind.
I just heard it. We all just heard it. From Vern. I learned something on my trip and my trek across the country.
That's right. That's
now,
education.
There you go. I mean, he's pursuing something that he couldn't pursue here. But he's taking what you have given him.
The journey.
Yeah.
On the road.
Yep. Wild. That's great.
And that first step. So, education is everywhere. I mean, we have a young gentleman here with you.
Devin West.
Who's going to school for
a audio video.
Okay. He's here to learn.
That's right.
You brought him along to learn.
That's right.
Now,
hands on.
There you go. I mean, do all parents do that? No. Should all parents in some way? Sure, but you know, you may not always find that mentor.
No.
In your own family.
That's right. Yeah, my parents weren't able to, really. Yeah.
But there was music there.
There was always music
in the home.
It was.
Okay? How important is getting through the happy times, the sad times, without music? I mean,
well,
There is no way through without the music. Before we play our next track, I just wanted to tell you, anyone out there who hasn't ever heard of us before, that this record was started to record it, and then I got diagnosed with leukemia.
Yes.
And it was quite an arduous journey, but the support from my brother and my son, as we made sure we got together every couple of nights a week and worked on the material, it just kept my spirits up.
Yep.
And I went through a lot of, doctoring. I got a bone marrow transplant. And for 5 months, I had to stay indoors, and I couldn't even go out. I had to wear people had to wear masks and gloves. You know, I've never been that isolated for that long. And it was probably the toughest time of my life. But without the music, I don't know what I would have done. I can't even understand how people live without it.
Yep.
To me, it's my lifeblood, and it inspires me, it uplifts me, and I love hearing all kinds of music. I loved hearing the music I heard today from the different bands. We heard the two different bands. I mean, I just loved them. I mean, I really did. Because I hear people expressing themselves, and I know how much work goes into this stuff. And I'm a firm believer that when you put a lot of work into this stuff, you create sort of a gravitas, almost like a gravity. That when people come to see you, they don't see all the work. They just see what you're doing. But there's gravity there because of all that work, and it draws them in. And I think there's something about the space-time continuum we could get into about that.
Yeah. But creating beauty, you know?
Yeah. You got to watch out for that flux capacitor, though. So, we still have Mugged Fox Tribe in studio with us. How do you feel about that subject, about how important music is and how it helps you to enjoy and get through even the hard times.
I think that's one of the greatest things about music is that it can do that for people. It can bring you back to a certain time in your life, depending on what the music is. And it can go across many different cultures and languages, and it just breaks those barriers. So I'm writing music, it's a way to help people, maybe that are going through some of the same things as you. There's something about it that just lifts you up, and
Well, I might be an old hippie, but I gotta tell you, the Beatles changed the world. It would not be the same today if it wasn't for that music.
That's for sure.
And other music that followed them. So I still believe in the power of music. I think right now there's so much streaming and so much overwhelming white noise of music out there, it's hard to penetrate. But I still believe in the power of music. If the song has got something special and it does heal deeply something inside of you, then it's going to do that same thing for someone else.
Yep.
I'd say it's the... You know, because if you remember in the Bible, we're not going to get too far into that. But, you know, at one time, everybody spoke the same language. Okay?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Then you had the Tower of Babel, and boom.
Division.
Okay.
That's kind of what's happening now.
But not with music. Music transcends all cultures.
And universal.
All ages. It doesn't matter that we don't all speak. Abba. Didn't know a word of English.
Not a word
Could
of English.
Could not speak a word of English, yet they were one of the greatest bands in their genre, and they're still with us today. I mean, movies and plays, but people know the songs.
Yeah.
That's why it's cool to have today.
That's right.
Three different bands, three different languages of genre of music. But the same language of love of music.
That's right.
That's right.
And you cannot beat that.
That's right.
You know, and...
Crosses all barriers.
And all ages.
That's right.
Because, you know, they say that some of the greatest music for a baby before it's born or even growing up, you know, is classical music and different types of classical music. As a matter of fact, we're going to have some great classical music down the street here in Boston for the 4th of July.
Yes, the Pops.
Okay, the Pops, because of one man, and we have a bridge going over there in his name, Arthur Fiedler, decided that classical music needed to be popularized and started the Boston Pops. So we have the symphony and the Pops, but...
Great tradition.
It's all great.
Right.
And that then became blues and jazz and swing and boogie-woogie and ragtime. And then jazz and blues brings on rock and roll. And, of course, your genre of music is all incorporated into that because everybody has their roots music.
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah.
Yep. So
you could get tracks like folk-style tracks on Beatle albums. I mean, it's just a variation of the rock. Oh, yeah. It's just a softer version, but it's still rock.
But if you look at it, folk music and that genre probably is... No, it is the oldest form of music.
Right.
Because it's what you... You know, if believe that the cavemen hung out, you know, when they're, you know... The music that made them go. It's folk music. And it brings everything else in as you go to grow and learn.
I've always felt that all music really should be folk music because it's for people. I mean, the only thing that's different, maybe jazz is a little less folk music because it's more for musicians or an educated ear. But I still think that's folk music too. I think all music is for people.
Well, let's see. You watch cartoons growing up?
Oh, yeah.
What'd you watch?
Hey, Arnold. Doug, all that old Nickelodeon stuff.
Okay, what about, did you ever watch Bugs Bunny Road Runner?
Oh, yeah. Of course. Oh, yeah.
Did you ever watch The Three Stooges?
Three Stooges, yeah.
Did you ever watch Tom and Jerry?
Tom yes. and Jerry, yep.
Okay. Did you know you were educated in classical music, in pop music, in rock, in blues and jazz?
The Jetsons!
But you know what?
There was some jazz for you. Yeah.
You learned all about music and you didn't even know it.
Yeah.
You did not even know it. And you know what? Feel it here today, but it's always been there. Because there's always been music and songs throughout time. So, let's see.
Play the next track.
Next track is called It's Raining.
Yeah. Oh, the one after. Let's play that. And we'll end with Can't Stop Dreaming. That'll be the last track.
Which sounds really cool because you can't. You didn't.
What?
You had a hard time and you didn't stop dreaming. Vernon is out there and he's never going to stop dreaming.
Yeah. Right. So, you can never stop.
That's the song after that, I think.
But why don't we go to...
It's Raining?
Here on What's Happening on WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. The extended edition with...
Dana West.
Vernon West.
Dave.
And Cole from Mud Fox Trap.
And away we go. Enjoy.
Oh,
Hey, this is Mud Fox Tribe. Just signing out here. We'd like to remind you of our show this Friday, June 29th, at McGann's Irish Pub in Boston, presented by WEMF.
Pleasure having you gentlemen hang around and be part of this great day of Highway Chapel, Mud Fox Tribe, the West Boys.
Yeah.
And our coast to coast broadcast.
Yes.
And I know Vernon is happy to have you be part of his birthday, too.
Totally.
Happy to be a part
of it. That's right.
Yeah, it was a great time.
Gentlemen, go enjoy. You feel better.
Thank you.
And we'll see you very, very soon. Looking forward to hearing more tracks from Mud Fox Tribe.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, gentlemen.
Yes.
That was the irony of it raining out and playing it raining. It's just ironic.
That was pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
Special effects by God.
Yes.
And the gentleman from Mud Fox Tribe noticed it. Because, you know, my window for seeing the outside is
behind you.
Behind me.
Right. Yes, it does rain. And,
but you know what we didn't do yet?
We love that song. What?
We talked about
Vernon.
Now, what about yourself?
Okay. In a nutshell, I love music from a young age, and, you know, not to date myself, but I remember being very young and seeing Ricky Nelson at the high school dance, and I said, I want to do that. But I listened to the radio a lot, and my cousins had all these great 45s, and I loved the smell of the turntable, smell of the records. It was just like the music just pulled me in. And listening to radio a lot, there was a lot on back then in the 60s. I mean, you know, you could...
It was on AM and FM.
AM, before FM. I mean, I'm before FM.
Yes. Well,
you know, we had
me too.
You know, there was that great station down the street.
WMEX.
And also WBZ.
That's WBZ. So they would play, you know, back in the 60s when I was a little kid, they would play... one song they'd play Nat King Cole, then it would be Satisfaction by the Stones, and then it would be a Beatles song. I mean, so there was this big mix of music, so I remember listening to that. But for me, very early on, I played clarinet when I got older because, you know, our uncles, you know, he was trumpet, and I was going to play a woodwind, you know. So here's your clarinet. My uncle came in with, like, in a brown bag with a clarinet and said, here's your clarinet you're going to play. I love my Uncle Ernie.
Jeez, isn't that interesting that,
yeah,
you know, it had to come in a brown paper bag.
Yeah,
I mean, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, my buddy Joey gave me this for you, you know.
Right.
And anyway, so, I mean, but I fell in love with the guitar at about 4 years old over my aunt's house, and her son had a guitar with about 3 strings on it, and I saw it, and it was just like rapturous. So my aunt gave it to me. They knew how I felt about it. So I had this guitar, and I mean, I just carried it around. I guess it's like growing up around horses. I had an instrument, and you know, when I played clarinet, I was like, you know, I want to play guitar. So, but meanwhile, somebody put strings on that, and I was picking out the Twilight Zone and different things. But like Vernon said, once the Beatles hit, it was like, I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a musician that wrote his own songs. Because until the Beatles, you know, it's pretty much, it was like Tin Pan Alley and, you know, a lot of the Brill Building writing songs for people, right?
Well, we have our own version of the Brill Building here in Boston, that or in Cambridge, that I know Russ Fox and many other musicians are trying to save.
Yeah.
And we want to wish them the best on that.
Absolutely.
I think it's the EMF building, yeah.
Yep. So, you know, it's a wonderful thing because you have, like, Nashville, you have people collaborating on music. I just whacked the microphone with my hand.
Because he's Italian.
Because I'm a tempered Italian.
Half Italian, so one of his hands was moving.
I was moving. And so...
He thought it was a guitar.
That's right. I was ready to flail. I was ready to flail. So I just loved the guitar. And then I started learning to play guitar. And as I started to learn, I I just would have original ideas from an early age. And we would go down to the basement, and we'd hash out a two-chord thing, and he was playing in bands, and I was jamming in basements. And to me, I was so excited to go down into a basement with a drum. Somebody had a drum set, you know. And you go down there, and you plug in, and you stick a microphone through the guitar, and everybody's like, you know, just to sing. But I just kept at it. And when I was in high school, talk about going on to college. I knew I wasn't going to go on to college because we were already gigging by that time. And when I was in, we had our own, we were living in down the South Shore as a band, and we had a manager, and we were playing around, and I was barely making it to high school. And but I got into music as a guitarist. I learned to read, which I'm grateful for, with the clarinet, and I just transferred to that, like you were talking earlier about the cartoons and classical music. I fell in love with classical music through people like Segovia and Julian Breams, great guitar players. But we started to write songs, and it just seemed like there was a real welling up of ideas when we got together. So we started writing original songs right away. We had that trio with our friend Paul, and I loved all the bands that came out, and it took a while for the blues to really, really get me, because at first it sounded foreign to the diatonic melody of the Beatles, you know? But when I got it and listened to Zeppelin and Cream and all that stuff, and Hendrix especially, just the whole idea of being able to take a song and be able to make it whatever you want. And so, you know, all those influences, and just keeping learning and writing as we were going along. We were playing, and we had early recording studio experience, and we just loved it. So we went through our time with brushing the shoulders of national success, and that's a long story for another day. But we continued to play and record and write. We released some things over the years, but we always just had the dream. You know, we couldn't stop dreaming, and we just kept on writing songs and having a new batch of songs to work on and playing. We were always about woodshedding. So when we were in high school, right after high school, we would play gigs where we would do six nights a week, five sets a night, just to get experience. And you know, because the Beatles played Hamburg, you know, so we figured we had to really do the grueling thing too.
You did.
So we did, and it seasoned us. It really did, because even now, we have a lot of stamina for being able to perform. But we love the studio and the live thing, because it's where you take what you write in the studio and be able to share it with people, where it has an impact on that. And that, to me, like you were talking about earlier, the impact of music is what I love the most. You know, I love things that are very simple more than things that are very sophisticated, because it's the communication factor. So when we write songs and we hit upon a combination of melody, words, and, you know, I love the wildness of rock and roll, you know, being able to make it different. And I think that spoiled us during the 60s, where you would have an album by the Stones and the Beatles, and it would have Lady Jane on it, and then it would go into Little Red Rooster, you know, or you'd have, you know, the Beatles going from Act Naturally into Ticket to Ride. I mean, just the idea of being able to be as creative as you want to be, that stuff fed me, and I know it fed my brother as well, because we felt like you could be an artist. You could be an artist and have a palette to draw from. And so we worked at being skilled at it. Now, the best thing today is having home studio equipment and having a studio, like a full-on studio in Vernon's home. We're able to write and collaborate and really not look at the clock like we did when we were paying $100 an hour in the early days, and come out with three songs that we were like, oh no, what's that? That's not my voice.
Where can people find your music? Because I want to make sure that your dream of not stopping dreaming is heard.
Well, I'm going to let Vernon finish that up, but I definitely have to say that, you know, we're building that all the time. Right, Vernon?
Absolutely.
So go share with
right
that.
Right now, you can get us on any of the streaming services. We have a single out with She Loves Me and Toys for Tyrants, which were paired together as a single for specific reasons, and you will understand it when you hear them both. If you don't, well, I hope you like the songs. But either way. And then our album is called Breakfast in Bedlam, which will be coming out in a few months as we work on the artwork for the cover. The music's already, what you have here is a pre-release I gave you. And you can see, you can hear it in any of the streaming services. You can also go to our Facebook page, West Boys Facebook page, with Vernon West, Dana West, and Vernon West. It's just Google West Boys Facebook, you'll find it.
I want to thank the West Boys, Highway Chapel, and Mudfox Tribe for coming in today. Thank you very much.
Thank
let's
you,
go
Aaron.
Right to the music.
Oh,
thank you.
Let's not forget YouTube. We have a YouTube channel.
Yes.
Please like it.
Cool.
Pleasure to meet you today.
Thank
I think
you.
I know
pleasure.
You from somewhere a while ago.
So. Yeah, we must have crossed paths.
Absolutely.
Dreaming.
I can't stop.